Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, the Lakers made a political statement and told everybody it's bullcrap that anybody has to work on Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Bro, of all the games and of all the teams, they have not shown up at all exactly once this year. And it's against the fucking Celtics.
Yeah.
The Celtics game. You do this to me. Like I can't, of all of the games, man, of all of the freaking games, for them to just not show up at all. Like, look, man, in reality, Eastern Conference opponent, it's the doldrums of January, right? Like, this game is not significant in the grander scheme of what this Lakers season is, except for one element, which I do want to get to. Yeah,
I think we're on the same page there.
Uh-huh. Except for one element. But just, it's the Celtics, man. You can't give up a buck 39 to the Celtics. Like, especially LeBron's got a long history of whipping their asses
in Boston.
And just the beat LA chants and just like all of it. It's just a bad night, man.
That'll do it for our episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast.
That's it.
We just did as much work as the Lakers did. We showed up for the first few minutes, and then we're going to call it a night. So,
sorry, 3-minute pod, yeah, and just mail it in for the rest of it like they did.
I thought, obviously, everybody was pretty stoked when the Lakers kicked out and jumped out to an 8-0 start. And then, you know, Boston hit. I'm not, and this is not an excuse, not even an explanation. I was just pointing out that Boston hit a few shots that, like, their first bucket came on a Gordon Hayward 40-footer. A play later, a play later, their next bucket came on Kemba Walker tipping in a pass because JaVale. No, that was a different one. No, it is that one, right?
Yeah, it was the same play. JaVale made that errant inbound pass, and then Boston missed a shot to take advantage of that. And then Kemba tipped it in wildly, you know. Yeah. Yes, they had some lucky bounces. Jaylen Brown had an and one where he kind of flung it up there. But no, Lakers got their
asses kicked. No, I agree. Yeah. I agree. It was just, but when that stuff started happening, I started thinking, oh.
One of those nights type thing?
Huh.
Yeah.
You know, I told Jen, you know, because she was taking care of Avery, and she sat down and she was like, all right, what did I miss? I was like, I have a bad feeling about this. This is not great. And look, like you said, Lakers just didn't deserve to even be in the game, frankly. And the score is indicative of the way that the game was played out. But, you know, when that stuff started happening in Boston, I thought the Leprechaun was up to his usual tricks. Did your dad ever share with you the stuff when you were a kid about the Leprechaun who lived in the garden?
That was my grandpa, and his name was Chick Hearn. So
there you go.
That's where I learned about.
Well, we have to now relay stuff that are because
it's a big part of our job. 100%.
Most people's times, but that when Boston started getting all the bounces like that, I started thinking, oh man, not today, really not today. I do want to though take this game somewhat seriously in a couple regards. And it's kind of funny because yesterday's episode was me throwing water on the theories of, you know, the games that the Lakers really, really wanted to win so far this season. They have not, right? The Bucks game, two Clippers games, now this Boston game. This is now four games that everybody had circled, and the Lakers are 0-4 in them. Mm-hmm. And you
do,
made
do a... You not, do you count, I'm sorry, sorry. Mm-hmm. Do you count Houston in this? No.
No. Nobody cares about Houston. I don't even think Mike D'Antoni cares about Houston.
I sadly think you're right. I just want to make that 1-4. I want to make an argument for it, but I can't really. So carry on.
So, and look, I the Lakers, I think, still have the most wins against above 500 teams this year. This isn't a grand statement on the Lakers, but it would be nice for them to win one of these circle your calendar games. And
yeah, we're 5-6 against the top four of each conference right now.
Yeah. And look, I think that's about average. That's about where everybody's going to finish out. Like top four teams are going to go 500 against top four teams. You're not going to see, you know, great records against fellow teams like that. But in these games, like this being a nationally televised game, Anthony Davis comes back. I want to talk about Davis. We'll talk about him in the second segment. But you made a point, though, that I think really needs to be hammered home, and it's that when the Lakers get punched in the mouth, they tend to take a couple steps back, and their ability to kind of bounce back from that punch in the mouth, like that's the kind of boxer I used to love facing. The guys who looked all huge and then you punch them in the face once and it was just over. They're starting to pick up that kind of, I'm not going to say identity, because this is, 4 games is too small a sample size to be forming any kind of identity on. But at this point, this is something that, and Stephen A. Smith, you know, for all the jokes that everybody made about him, kind of touched on this too, that I think the league kind of thinks the Lakers are soft, and this game was more evidence to that point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to believe that they're soft, and they're, what, 34-9 now? So they're certainly doing some great things, but like they don't react well to, and it's not a matter of, like somebody made the point, Lakers have come back from double digit deficits multiple times this season. Mm-hmm. 2 points with that. First, most of them have been against pretty bad teams.
Yeah.
And when it hasn't been against bad teams, the game against Houston is an example of this, right? Houston also blew a big lead against OKC today and lost at home. Mm-hmm. But
did
Houston,
you see
is
the
not,
final play of that game, by the way?
The Westbrook three as
do you think anybody enjoyed a play more this season than Chris Paul enjoyed watching that play?
He like left that game like, have fun.
Bye guys.
Yeah. Where was I going
So the games that the Lakers have come back from have either been bad teams or good teams where weird stuff happens.
They're just not physical. Like Houston's not a physical team, right? So the Lakers can assert their will on them. Boston is not a big team, but they will take it to you, right? And gosh, this is so like
they have big 1970s. Wings too, by the way.
Yeah, they do have big wings. Like they are physical, right? Marcus Smart is one of the more physical guards in the NBA. Cantor is one of the best offensive rebounders in the NBA.
Yeah.
They will not back down from a fight, right? It's kind of similar to what you were saying when you were a boxer, right? Is that the Lakers are that big bad guy across, and like you're gonna fight too. You're in the same weight class, right? Like they're in the same league, but you're gonna fight them. And the Lakers, when talent levels, like Lakers are a lot more talented, and they're a much better team than Celtics are. But the fight, from one team to the other was just night and day, just absolutely night and day. And like if they, I guess I'd be less worried about it if it was just one game where they didn't show up altogether, but they end up looking rattled. You know what I mean? Like they tried.
Vogel even spoke to this specifically.
Yep.
He said that specifically to Kristen Ledlow when she asked him about it during the game.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So I mean, that's something that it's my biggest concern about this team aside from the secondary shot creator. Mm-hmm. And that's one, like, look, if we get Darren Collison or Chris Haynes reported today that the Lakers have expressed interest in Derrick Rose along with the Philadelphia 76ers, they need to address that. But that, no matter who they acquire, will not change the fundamental DNA of the team.
Yeah.
And that element of getting rattled when teams punch you in the mouth is my biggest, like, unchangeable concern about their DNA. Like is that who they are? So far, evidence suggests that it is. You made a good point. Like, we're not far enough into it. It's January. We don't know that that's what they are, but that's definitely on my radar as a concern. My biggest concern of all about just the general DNA of this team.
Yeah. I have another concern that I'm going to raise here in a second. And look, I don't want to freak out about one game or whatever, but I wrote for Patreon about Anthony Davis making his return and how Kuzma looked in while he was out, and whether some of what Kuzma brought while Davis was out can be replicated with Davis in the fold, and had a question about whether or not that was a possibility. And I thought that game, look, everybody looked terrible, so there's, you can't really read too much into it, but you know, I think some of that concern was kind of confirmed. So let's take a quick second. When we come back, we'll talk about that. Today's show is brought to you by Calm. I know, given the game that we just watched, it's pretty hilarious that Calm is today's one of today's sponsors. But look, we talk about physical fitness all the time, but there's another side of life, probably a more important one, and that's your mental fitness, your psychological fitness. Calm is the number one sleep app for sleep and meditation, and they've teamed up with LeBron to help train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, "Getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind." If you head to calm.com/lockedonNBA, you'll get 40% off a Calm premium membership. With Calm, you have access to nature scenes LeBron loves, like rain on leaves, and so much more, like sleep stories and meditations. So, for a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/lockedonNBA. Unlock great content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/NBA. Locked on NBA. That's calm.com/lockedonNBA. So I wrote for my Patreon today because yesterday's show took forever to upload. I figured I'd had to give you guys some kind of content. But I wrote for the Patreon today about the success that the Lakers had while Anthony Davis was out, and whether or not some of what made the Lakers successful during that stretch was replicable now that Davis is back in the fold. And while I think some of it is, I think there's reason to be not concerned, but there's reason to be maybe not quite believe in some of what the Lakers did during that time. But I thought, you know, with Davis out and only, you know, JaVale and only Dwight being out there surrounded by more modern lineups, I thought the Lakers started to see some of the benefits of modern NBA spacing. And now that Davis is back, you kind of go back to the more old school traditional lineups that the Lakers have been playing with this year. And look, one game sample size against the Celtics in which nobody showed up, that's not something to read into. But that was kind of not a concern, because concern means that you're somehow worried about Anthony Davis returning. That seems kind of stupid. That seems like the definition of overthinking it. But, you know, I think in particular, the guy that really feels this the most is probably Kyle Kuzma, because if he's out there and Davis is out there, who doesn't necessarily stretch the floor, LeBron doesn't really stretch the floor in most cases, Kuzma spends a lot of time playing alongside Rajon Rondo, who definitely isn't going to space the floor, and maybe you have KCP out there, but that isn't a very conducive lineup to success for Kuzma. And I kind of felt like if you're going to make Kuzma's consistency a priority, the way that the Lakers are going about it isn't the best way. And so I guess, Pete, I want to start with my concern in the first place here, whether my big picture concern is whether Kuzma, LeBron, and AD can all function together the way that Vogel is putting the rotations together, meaning with AD playing so much four, and in general, given roster construction.
Well, I think that AD playing so much four means that they are not playing enough together at all, right?
Yeah.
That most of Kuzma's minutes, he's the second option on the court, right? Mm-hmm. It's either him with AD at usually, what not tonight, with AD having foul problems and a minutes restriction. But the normal rotation, LeBron goes out with about 4 minutes left in the first quarter and the third quarter as well. Mm-hmm. Kuzma's in the game at that time, gets those last 4 minutes with AD. And so it's usually Rondo as the shot creator for Kuz and AD there. AD and Kuz do not have a lot of synergy together. I do think they can play together, but I think that they're dependent upon a third person who's the guy creating the shots, of which Anthony Davis is one option to finish, and then Kyle Kuzma is the other option to finish. Mm-hmm. That's why actually I think the three-man group of LeBron, Kuz, and AD, they have a net rating of plus 21.6 this season, and that's including this Boston game. They have been really, really good together, but of all of the three-man lineups, you know where they ranked in terms of minutes played together? 15th.
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like 375th.
Yeah, man. They are the 15th most common group of three guys on the court together. They've played a total of 147 minutes together in 26 games. So quick math, that's what, six-ish minutes per game?
Yeah,
that's just not that much, right? And, you know, hopefully that changes during the playoffs, but I do think the Lakers would be wise. And we're going to have to start talking about this of, like, how did they – you know how, like, teams that have a 10-game lead in baseball will, like, kind of set up their rotation and just get everything just so by the time the playoffs start, right? Mm-hmm. I think the Lakers are going to be going through kind of the basketball version of that, and that it may be even worth losing some games coming up to – try some things out, right? That and this isn't, I'm not talking about experimenting wildly here and there, but what does LeBron, AD, and Kuzma look like together more often?
Yeah.
And if that means that we've got more lineups where it's just Kuz out there and both LeBron and AD are on the bench at this point, like, I'm okay with that, and especially as we get progressing. But I do think they need a little more time together as that group, because Kuz is playing primarily as a second option next to AD, and then as a second option to start the second and fourth quarters next to LeBron. But he's not in that third option role, which is going to be extraordinarily crucial in the playoffs that he's able to fit that.
Yeah, it was funny. Over the last five games with AD out, you started to see Kuzma handling more pick-and-roll responsibilities. And actually, you know, obviously he doesn't have the ball-handling skills of somebody who you would want in those situations a ton. But I think it's a good way to kind of get him going. It assigns him more responsibility, which for a young guy matters more than it might for a veteran who just kind of understands. Like, Danny Green doesn't need pick and roll responsibilities to get into the flow of a game because he's Danny Green. He's been around the league a long time. He knows what his role is. He knows what it's going to take for him to be successful. Kuzma does, I think, need a little bit of massaging of the ego every so often. And, you know, it's kind of funny to say that about a 24-year-old on a team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, but these are the kind of things that you kind of have to do for players every so often. And it's weird that Kuzma was having the little bit of success that he was having in the pick and roll when his partners were Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. Now you have probably the best pick and roll finisher in the entire league, one of the best pick and roll finishers that the league has ever seen. And I don't think they use it enough with Kuzma. This is just the kind of thing, like you're saying, if you're trying to maximize the version of Kyle Kuzma that you want on this Lakers team, I think this is one of the ways you go about doing that as you, like you said, kind of start lining things up for the playoffs.
Yeah, I just don't know. Like, what do you do if they switch? Because neither Kuzma nor AD, unfortunately, in AD's case especially, are beating guys on switches enough. Yeah. Like, this is what the problem we have against the Clippers, right? Is that they switch and then they sag off LeBron and then hope LeBron doesn't hit a three. Now I feel good in a 7-game series that LeBron isn't going to be ice cold from three and will make open shots and make them pay for that. But if he's not on the court and it's those Kuz AD lineups, then that's going to matter a lot. I also think that just having some competency at point guard, if you get Darren Collison, I think that really unlocks, because again, it's the same premise, like Davis and Kuz are finishers, man. They both do the same job in a different way, but neither of them are really creators. Like, they can do it kind of, but you're not getting Anthony Davis as a shot creator, you're getting him as a finisher. You're not getting Kyle Kuzma as a shot creator, you're getting him as a finisher. And just because they're somewhat capable of that doesn't mean that over the long run, if they're asked, either of them are asked to do it a lot, that you won't just get kind of like bleh results as a result of it.
Yeah, I think it's the kind of thing that you go to maybe three or four times a game, especially against a team that is really pressuring up against, you know, beyond the three-point line and is giving you the mid-range. Like, that's where I think Kuzma is going to be successful, where they go into extreme drop coverage just to make sure that AD doesn't get going and Kuzma gets wide open, kind of dribbling to mid-range jumpers. And then, you know, if Kuzma, LeBron, and AD are all on the court at the same time and you have a three guarding Kuzma, I think, depending on the three, right, if you're going up against the Clippers where you have Paul George and Kawhi on the court, it's not going to matter which of Paul George and which of Kawhi is guarding Kuzma to start the play. Well, one thing, you don't want Kuzma handling the ball against either of those guys in the first place. But like, if Paul George or Kawhi switch on to AD, you aren't going to get anything anyway. But if you're playing a team that has like a shooting guard who basically slid down to the small forward because they went small, and that's a player who starts to play guarding Kuzma because LeBron is also on the court, and you can't have a super small player on LeBron. I think that kind of a situation could call for a Kuzma AD pick and roll. I'm just trying to find more ways, frankly, to get Kuzma more consistent responsibility while AD is healthy. I think it's a legitimate concern that this guy just doesn't really know where he fits in when the entire rotation is healthy. And, you know, if the Lakers are really going to... I think they have to make a choice here. You either move Kuzma or you actually commit to him in ways that I don't think they quite have so far this year.
Yeah, no, it's fair. It's fair that they haven't gone to that enough. I really think that a big part of that is going to be getting more minutes alongside LeBron.
Yeah.
And Anthony Davis. Kyle Kuzma is not a championship caliber second option at this point, but I think he can be maybe a third option. And I think that he's always done well playing off of other people's gravity, right? Like, he's not cutting nearly as much. And this plays to your point about the spacing, right? Mm-hmm. But I guess what I'm saying is I would like to see more AD at the five lineups.
Yeah.
And I get why over the course of 82, you're not going to look to do that. But as we get into the second half of the year, I think there's probably a 20-game stretch between, say, games 55 and 75 that I think the Lakers should use as a dress rehearsal for the playoffs. And then hopefully sit all your key guys the last week of the season, ramp it down however you decide to do that. But I do think that a dress rehearsal is in order, and I think that the way to resolve what you're talking about there, or at least the best way, is to get him minutes alongside those two. And I'd really love to see that.
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of the analytics, I haven't checked up lately, but a lot of the analytics don't really like AD at the five in these Lakers for the Lakers so far. I haven't checked it lately, like I said, but the analytics don't really love him at the five as much. But it's one of those things where modern NBA basketball tells you AD at the five with LeBron and Kuzma and Danny Green and like KCP or whatever, AD surrounded by LeBron and three shooters, that's the best way to succeed here. And it's just a matter of, while the statistics might say what those lineups are doing so far, they might say what they say, but I just kind of trust the theoretical aspect of those kinds of lineups are going to be the best version of the Lakers.
Yeah, absolutely. In big moments, right? Mm-hmm. And again, what works over 82 is not the same thing of what's going to work as what's going to work in a 7-game series. So that probably means some reduction of the minutes of bigs that have done very well for us. And if what Dwight and especially JaVale, if their value this season have been, to make another baseball analogy, innings eaters, guys who can just chew up all of those innings, great. But I think come playoff time, we'll probably need to tap into that a little more.
Yep. All right, let's take another quick second here. When we come back, I want to talk about Davis. He didn't look very good. He looked pretty, I'd go so far as to say bad. Now, everybody did. But I thought Davis especially looked like he was floating for much of that game there. And I kind of want to talk about that, what we saw from there, and kind of look ahead to the Lakers bouncing back, I believe, against the Knicks. Today's show is also brought to you by the Arizona Office of Tourism. Head on over to visit arizona.com/springtraining to check out everything the state of Arizona has to offer come this spring when you guys are getting ready to take your post-winter vacations. For baseball, you can follow all your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for the Cactus League spring training. 10 stadiums, you have 15 teams, perfect weather. All 10 stadiums are in the greater Phoenix area within 50 miles of each other. Meet players, get autographs. It's just a really cool setting if you're a baseball fan. If you're not a baseball fan, they got hiking, they got golf, they have great food, a great bar scene, live music, everything that you could possibly ask for out of a vacation with a group of your friends, your family, yourself. If you're just trying to get away, the state of Arizona has everything you could possibly... It's a really cool spot. I have been going to Lake Havasu, which is kind of split by on the, you know, the California and Arizona borders. Been doing that for the last 15 years or so. There's Prescott, where you have really cool hiking and stuff like that. You have Scottsdale and anything you could possibly ask for. So again, visit visitarizona.com/springtraining. Again, that's visitarizona.com/springtraining to start planning your trip today. So it was evident pretty early on, actually, that Davis still didn't quite look himself. He was on a minutes restriction, so that kind of tells me he wasn't 100% anyway. And let's just start here. Do you feel like they rushed him back? Like, do you feel like this was a decision maybe? Like, if they played, the Knicks isn't a good example. But if they were playing, like, the Pacers and the Celtics was the next game, do you think they'd take an extra night off? Or do you think this was a decision made because he wanted to play against the Celtics?
I mean, he didn't play like he wanted to play against the Celtics. And that's not just true. That's not just true of him, right? Like, that was everybody. Like, yeah. If anybody was like, oh no, I'm not missing this game, Martin Luther King Day, and it's a national televised game against the Celtics, boy, I want to play in that. Like, sure didn't play like it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even think Vogel coached like it.
No, like, that's a I don't have, look, whenever there are games like this, and Lord knows there's more of these coming with the playoffs coming up and all that. Whenever there are games like this, everybody picks, like, choose your fighter, except it's the guy that pisses you off the most or the thing about the team. See, if Kyle Kuzma would just, or Anthony Davis is soft, or you know what I'm saying?
Like, I haven't mentioned Rondo once,
Pete. Damn it, Rondo. Yeah, exactly. But you want to. And
I do.
That's just, we just go to the things that, like, okay, they played like shit, but at least make me right about something, right? Like, I want to be right about something. Give me something to feel good about.
Yeah.
That's generally what we do. This is one of those games, everybody's at fault. In some ways, they need to take stop, and in other ways, they need to just flush this turd down the toilet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just move on.
Did you, were you ever a teacher's, like, least favorite kid in class?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think I was teacher's favorite kid. I tried to lay low.
This is going to shock you, but there were a couple occasions where I was the teacher's least favorite kid in class.
That's stunning. I can't believe that.
And there were days where the entire class would be acting up. It was just one of those crappy days where, you know, whatever was going on, something weird was going on. And I always caught the brunt of it. Like, I was going around telling everybody to act a fool. But that's kind of what was going on here, was that, like, everybody was acting a fool. And you do kind of harken back to the stuff that you feel more right about. But and by the way, those teachers were absolutely right. I was a piece of shit. But the Vogel thing, like, the example that comes to mind here with Vogel, Cantor grabbing offensive rebounds and finishing on those offensive rebounds is him taking advantage of his advantage, right? Mm-hmm. That's playing to his strengths and making the most of what he offers on a basketball court. And I felt like the Lakers didn't do nearly enough to take advantage of his disadvantages, put him in a pick and roll situations and really attack him there so that he can't stay on the court. And, you know, I don't know what all was going on there, but that to me seems like one of those situations where Vogel kind of has to shake the team and say, guys, Enes Kanter is standing out there. LeBron, yeah. You just Euro-stepped around him in your sleep. You can do this 30 plays a night if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I thought that was an example of that.
Yeah.
I do want to, again, it's tough to make too much of one game against the Celtics or whatever. But, like, it's stuff like that, that while this season has been overwhelmingly positive. Mm-hmm. But on a game like tonight, you need somebody, especially in a night where LeBron didn't seem to have it, you need somebody to kind of step up and shake the team a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, prior nights, it might have been Dudley. LeBron gets literally dunked on. Jaylen Brown picks up an albeit weak technical for taunting LeBron. And everybody just kind of, like, sat there and let that happen. And, you know, usually on a team like the Lakers, with as close as they are, and they themselves have cited team culture and chemistry and all that shit. Like, you can't cite that. let that happen and have nobody go out and send a message, you know, a few plays later. Not saying like don't fire a cheap shot in Jaylen Brown's direction. I'm not saying that. I mean, like somebody just trying to attack somebody and dunk somebody else through the basket on the other end to kind of say, no, fuck you guys. That's not going to stand here. This is our dude that we all kind of rally around. That guy got dunked through the basket. We want to step up for that. And the fact that nobody did that, like that to me, on a team that has relied and called chemistry and culture the foundation, such a foundational element of what the Lakers have brought this season, nobody stepping up and doing that at all. Mm-hmm. That it worried me, but it also just kind of pissed me off. Like, that's bullshit, man. Anybody who's mm-hmm. ever been on a basketball team or any team, period, like, you don't let your captain get dunked on and shamed like that without sending some other message back to the other team.
I mean, getting dunked on like that too was the result of their casualness and LeBron's casualness. Yeah, like, you deserve to get like dunked on. When they're like, yeah. Like, are you going to rotate like that? You can get dunked on. Lakers don't have much in the way of enforcers, though, right? Like, we talk a lot about the 2000 team, but the 2000 team had two guys who, like, Fisher was not a starter, but he was the finisher, right? Like, mm-hmm. Ron Harper was playing kind of the JaVale role. So was AC Green. But Fish was a tough dude, a bulldog type of guy.
Yeah.
So was Rick Fox. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Shaq, but Shaq's his own physically dominant, you know, animal.
And your best player can't be the enforcer.
He can't be the enforcer. Great point. Exactly. So the Lakers have, like, I think Dwight is the closest thing we have to an enforcer. And I think Dudley has that mentality. Like, if Dudley were in the game, he would have done what you wanted to do. But that was absolutely a game where you've got to do something, even if it's not like, you know, hard foul on the other team. It's somebody's diving on the floor, crashing into the stands, trying to get a loose ball. Just some sort of momentum play of Vogel or somebody else picking up a technical foul.
Yeah.
Right. Like the types of like, yo, let's wake our asses up. Like I did a thread on Twitter earlier on kind of the funny moments from the second half against Houston. The refs were so bad in both ways. Mm-hmm. In that game that like it got the Lakers bench really into the game.
Yeah.
And that was kind of what they needed to be like, all right, we're ourselves. Right?
JaVale's like weird taunting penalty that like was against the crowd somehow.
Right. And AD and Westbrook talking crap to each other. So they get teed up, but like it brought life and spirit to the team. And that's when the Lakers really opened it up. I think they're battling mental fatigue right now, even more than physical fatigue, is that we are very much in the dog days. Now losing to the Celtics and giving up a buck 39 on MLK Day on national TV, it's January and it's hard. That does not cut it
for
me.
Not today.
Not today. This is the one day where it doesn't. But like fatigue is something mental or physical where you can't just be like, oh, I'm not fatigued now. You know what I mean? Like there's sometimes all of us, whatever job we have, you work enough. And at some point you're like, I'm tired. Well, I've got these two things to do, but I'm tired. Well, those two things don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so you've got to find a way to fight through it and plow through it. But all of us are also not like, bro, let's be honest. If you and I were on a basketball team, sometimes there'd be some nights, even with this pod, and we were competing against somebody else, you know, we might go on a run here or there, but we just might not have it that night.
I can't lie, dude. That's been me this show.
Yeah, you're sick. That's it, though, man. You're sick. You're not feeling good. You got a new babe. That's just the nature of 82, right? Yeah. Not okay against the Celtics, but I do think that that's a more pervasive issue with the Lakers right now. If they don't do that great on this road trip, I wouldn't be terribly surprised because they look like a mentally tired team right now.
Yeah, they definitely – that all-star break can't come fast enough. Mm-hmm. Is kind of how I feel like with this team. And, you know, and I think a lot of that has to do with the way that they've approached this first half of the season. And the good news is because they've approached this first half of the season the way that they have, if they go through a bit of a slump here, they have a bit of a gap here between them and the next closest team in the conference.
And thank God for the longer all-star breaks too. I think that's really, because like you said, they really pushed themselves hard at the first part of this year. And I have a lot of gratitude for that. Mm-hmm. If they are mentally fatigued right now, I understand. But they need to try to get to the all-star break and just at least collect as many wins as possible and beat the friggin' Clippers. That's all I ask.
Yeah.
Like win a few games, beat the Clippers. If you go, I don't know how many games there are between now and then, but if you go 7-5, say there are 12 games right now, and play the worst 12 game stretch, but you beat the Clippers, I'll live with that because we're gonna get a week off. We'll be all right.
Who if you had to choose between one of those two teams, the Bucks and the Clippers, to get a win against, who would you prefer it come against?
Oh, the Clippers, for sure. I mean, they're a team we're going to play four times, and we are likelier to face them than we are Milwaukee, right? Because I do think that when it comes down to it, they're going to be, like, those are the teams that we're going to have to beat in a seven-game series.
Yeah, I just like to slap around the younger brother.
That's right.
That's the easier one for me. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Again, the Lakers lose by a final score of holy shit to wow. the Lakers will play again. I think they have a day off and then they play New York, right? They don't play a back-to-back here. So we'll see how that game goes as well. Thank you guys very much. I apologize for yesterday's show. If you guys want to check it out, I opened up the mailbag, answered a couple questions. One of them was a really interesting one from somebody who runs a charity, apparently, about that basically has like wheelchair basketball for people who have to you know, play basketball in wheelchairs. And they asked which NBA players you would like to see or you would choose to have on your wheelchair basketball team. That's fun hypothetical there. So check that out. It was up right before the game, so you have plenty of time to check that out and also this one. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. I'll talk to you tomorrow.